Okay. It is 23, let's call it 12 hours. Still on the 13th of October. And I am now going to interview who is normally on 31B, correct?
Yeah.
But was working overtime on 40A. The interview is taking place at Fire Station 40.
Alright.
Got your personal information and phone number. Obviously I know where you work. Why don't you tell me what your role today was on the engine?
And
what you were doing at the time you received the call, what the call was, and go from there.
My role was as a firefighter. When we arrived on scene, got a call for a gunshot victim. Obviously, I had no idea what we had. And I guess typically we'll get close to the scene and then we'll stage. The only reason I bring this up is because the captain was asking if, sheriff's officers were on scene, and as we round the corner, we can see just tons of cop cars. We end up stopping, and they say, it's okay for the engine to proceed in. And then right at that moment, we heard lots of gunfire. And I turned my head and faced backwards, and I can see officers shooting. And at that time, we said, they just told dispatch that some shots being fired, and our police responded. That second engine had that battalion chief. We waited, and then officers waved us in. I went there just basically to provide medical attention to this gentleman. He's lying in a face down position, prone position, handcuffed. I can work as a paramedic. So as soon as other paramedics showed up in the ambulance, I shifted from a BLS capacity, just basically doing basic life support, to an advanced life support capacity. I intubated the patient, and the other paramedics performed needle thoracoscopy on his chest to help with airway exchange. Then our squad pulled up. Went ahead and started an IV and began CPR, administered medications for his rhythm and so forth. I followed up to the hospital, and the patient was declared dead in the ER.
You followed up in the squad?
In the ambulance.
Okay.
Yeah. Me and was on the squad. I'm sorry. He was also on the squad. Our opinion drove the squad. And basically, I don't know what happened. I don't know why the guy was shot. I don't really care. I just, all I'm there to do is take care of a person, good or bad.
Right. So. You said when you first got there, okay, you guys responded to a gunshot victim. And then you got there and... Tell me, the engine staged what proximity, what location?
We were on Los Avenida Las Flores.
Las Flores.
And we're probably about half a block to the east of the residence.
Okay. So the residence where the
shooting was.
And where the victim fell.
Where the victim fell.
Okay. At Cross Street's Montgomery.
Okay, yeah, we're probably at Montgomery. Just actually, probably just east of Montgomery, under house, maybe. I could see an elderly woman, probably in her late 50s. She was very upset, yelling, screaming. And it kind of felt like, she's not really my patient.
Was this before you saw her? Before?
No, this is when we got out of the engine and we were actually walking up to her. When we were waved in, I didn't get out of the engine until I was told to.
Okay.
I just stayed in there and just waited. My captain, he got out and kind of walked forward a little bit. And the engineer, myself, and the other firefighter just waited.
Okay.
And, kind of just, you know, it's one of those things where, frankly, I don't want to be there. But I'm not going to question, you know, I'm listening.
Right.
I don't really question this kind of things. It's not my job to investigate.
Tell me exactly what you recall seeing.
Okay.
You were seated back.
I see that woman, and she was, looked like she was being consoled by another woman about her same age. And they looked like they weren't in need of medical attention, so
right.
I walked past them. When I got to the lawn where the man was down, I noticed a knife, a very large knife. It looked like a kitchen-type knife. I really could tell what kind of knife it was, but it had probably about a 4 or 5 inch wood handle. Looked like it was kind of carved out, you know, for your hands.
For the finger grips?
Your fingers. And then it looked like a serrated type blade. It's big. It's probably at least 9 inches, 10 inches long. And it looked like there was some blood on it.
Okay.
I'm thinking, gosh, what's that for, you know? And it was in the middle of the lawn, past the officers, it looked like. Then we kind of walked up this concrete path between the lawn, right towards the door, and the gentleman was lying prone with his head was facing sort of towards the sidewalk or towards away from the house.
Towards floors?
Yeah, towards floors, lying prone position, and then also a little bit toward the east, into the house.
Okay.
In his hand. He was obviously cuffed with 2 handcuffs, it looked like. And very badly injured, I can tell.
Yeah.
And I didn't think he was good. When I turned him over, I was really surprised to see that he was, I thought he'd be more screwed up. But it looked, you know, I turned him over, he was basically dead.
Uh-huh.
So we turned him over and he gave an agonal respiration, and I was hoping for some signs of death that we didn't have to resuscitate. I didn't find those signs. I didn't find, you know, any type of brain matter. In fact, his head was totally intact, which would have been, you know, immediately we would have called him.
Right.
And so, and then, you know, he was also agonally breathing. He had no pulse. You know, we looked up to our monitor, and we didn't even do that until the paramedic showed up. But we went ahead and started CPR immediately because we couldn't feel a pulse.
Right.
Even though he wasn't breathing, just agonally. And that's basically not really breathing. It's just sort of like a biomechanical function,
right.
You know, it just takes place. We cleared his airway and just tried to do the best we could until, you know, we could perform ALS stuff, type stuff. And his prognosis did not look good. I mean, it was multiple gunshot wounds to his abdomen and upper torso. It looked like there was some bowel kind of seeping out of some of the gunshot wounds.
On his right side or left?
See his right side,
okay.
Kind of a flank,
mm-hmm.
And I don't know. I don't suspect what organ that was. I would, you know, I bow. I don't think it was his lung, but I noticed that there was a shot to his upper left chest. No, upper right chest. I'm sorry. And it was very dark blood, kind of clotting. So that looked to me like it was probably an arterial shot or something.
Mm-hmm.
You know. Kind of get blood like that.
Right.
And so, and I just knew there's no way this guy's going to make it, but we did the best we could.
There you go.
That's all you can do.
That's all you can do.
Right.
Okay, let's go back to a little bit. You said when you first got there, you're seated backward in the engine,
mm-hmm.
And you turned right before you, I guess, the last series of shots rang out?
I heard a shot, and I thought, I didn't think anything of it, because I haven't really heard gunshot wounds, and we're wearing these
earmuffs, yeah.
So it just sounded to me like a firecracker or something, so I didn't even think anything of it until my captain goes, whoa, and then I looked just at the right time, and I could see gunshots. I mean, it didn't work. I couldn't see people moving. I just saw gunshots. Actually, I really couldn't see gunshots. I just heard them, and I can see kind of...
As you're turning your head.
Yeah, and it was over right as I turned my head.
Okay.
I never saw a body with it shooting at or anything.
And how many officers would you say was standing around with their guns drawn when you turned around?
Man, I'd speculate, but 5, 6 maybe? Okay.
5 or 6. All right. And were you the one that handcuffed him? The
no. I went and asked the officer for the keys, and I think he gave the keys to one of the members in the squad. They unhandcuffed him.
Okay.
So.
And did you hear any of the officers say anything while you were treating the victim?
No. In fact, when we went to the ER, I just knew not to ask. I didn't really want to be involved in that. Everybody looked so upset. The gentleman in the ER, he's having a bad day. Man. I didn't.
The officer or the...
The officer, I could tell. I just looked at him and he looked like he was very upset. I just felt like, man, I don't want to ask him about questions. I don't know. I just felt like I'll say hi to him and be cordial, but it's not my place.
Okay. And that was the same officer that rode in the squad with the victim?
I think a cop rode with him. No cop rode with us.
Okay.
But there was a police officer following us,
mm-hmm.
and he had red hair. He's probably about 5'10". I can't remember his name. He looked kind of young. Had a mustache.
Red hair and a mustache. Okay. All right. Can you think of anything else to add?
Not really. I didn't ask any questions to anybody. I just did my job and very focused on that. It's kind of when you're doing those types of things, you don't think anything else.
You get focused and you do what you have to do. Okay. Well, that'll conclude our interview then at 23:20 hours. And if there's somebody else out there.
Yeah. Somebody else.
Yeah.